this intensity, your belief, our destiny, all of it together created the one and only Ultimate Warrior. All of us, the freaks, who did in our time what will live forever.
I was waiting for you to say it one more time so that I can kick off the podcast.
Just do it on the laptop.
Okay, I'll just cut to that. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Room Full of Nerd Stuff. I'm Chris. That's Mike. We're going to work out an intro at some point so we don't talk over each other. Or maybe that is the intro.
Well, damn it. Like, the last three podcasts, when you say, I'm Chris, you list off, like, a list of shit that you do. And so here, I was holding back. So you're like, I'm Chris. And I'm like, okay, here's he's going to list off his stuff. I'll just wait for him to stop. And you're like, I'm Chris. And that's Mike. God damn it.
Professionalism. Welcome to the podcast. Recorded live from the Homeworld Production Studio in my apartment.
Hail Hydra.
There might be some Captain America, the winter spoilers this week.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Captain America or the newest Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., just don't listen.
And if you have seen them, probably still don't listen.
Yeah, it's probably not going to be any better.
It's going to. I guess the first thing we have to address, though, before we get going is Jesus Christ. Rest in peace, Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah. I was going to say, we haven't recorded since before WrestleMania, and a lot of shit has happened.
Yeah.
A lot of shit.
So, I mean, of course, the biggest deal, 18 years away from the company, feuding with them, Ultimate Warrior makes amends, shows up Saturday.
Hello?
It's like 18. Yeah, you there?
Oh, God. Now that's really bad. Jesus Christ.
Stop it, computer. 18 years away from the company?
Yes. Even though I think TMZ said it was 20 plus years.
I said it was 20 plus years, so.
Somebody can't count.
We don't know no math. Also, if you hear me, like, frustrated in the background, I'm working on some other computer stuff, by the way. 18 plus years away from the company, and then makes amends, shows up Saturday to, first off, a couple months ago, records all the gameplay stuff for 2K14.
Right.
Shows up Sunday to receive a Hall of Fame induction.
Saturday.
Or shows up Saturday. Shows up Sunday to be at WrestleMania for the Hall of Fame induction. Shows up Monday to get in the ring and tell the fans he loves them and thank them. And the Warrior's going to live forever. And then Tuesday, drops fucking dead outside of a hotel.
Yeah. Which, it was weird. Before they played, because like we talked about before we were recording, on the network today they're having a whole tribute to Warrior. Yeah. And they replayed bits of his Hall of Fame speech and bits of his Raw speech, and I'm kind of listening to it, and just the wording that he's using, it's like, did he it's fucking like he knew. Know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I remember when I was watching it, I was thinking, you know, he doesn't look great. He looks like he's about to fucking, like, lose his shit. But I kind of wrote that off, because, you know, it's the Ultimate Warrior. He always looks like that. Remember that one? He did like a fucking 30-minute YouTube video talking shit about Hogan, and the whole time he's like red and covered in sweat and pissed off, and it's Warrior. He always looks like that. But I mean, like, I'm watching it and I'm thinking, he looks really bad. But again, it's Warrior. He's almost 60.
Yeah, I just wrote it off to, it's like, he's obviously a sweater.
Yeah.
And when he gets excited or whatever, he just turns red. So it's like we said, Warrior. It's just him.
Yeah.
Not that he had fucking congenitive heart failure.
But, I mean, just the timing of it all, to do all this, and then just, like, make amends with everybody. Supposedly he and Hogan finally patched up, and then, dead.
Yeah.
It's fucking eerie, man.
Really eerie. It's like I said, it's just hearing his promo and stuff again, it's he had to know. It's too bizarre that he used those words not 24 hours before he kicked.
Right. So, rest in peace. Ultimate Warrior. Jesus Christ. Somebody did posit a theory that I enjoy. God was like, I want to put on like a really badass wrestling match. I got Savage.
You got Savage.
I got Monsoon to call it. You know who we need.
Yeah, if Bobby Heenan dies, in the next couple weeks. You Heaven's might be onto place. Something. Yeah. Although, oddly enough, like, he died on the night that there's supposed to be, like, four consecutive red moons. Like, it's the blood moon!
So the warrior didn't die, he just went home.
You know, these, like, the four consecutive red moons are supposed to be some biblical prophecy foretelling the end. And I was like, okay, so before, like, the rapture was supposed to happen, Macho Man died. Now we've got the four blood moons, Warrior died. How many more wrestlers do we have to sacrifice to keep the world going?
You can have Hogan. Do you want Hogan God?
Yeah.
Take him! Take Hulk Hogan from us!
No, I don't want anybody to die. Not even Hogan, who is kind of a piece of shit, but...
It is whatever. It is fascinating to look at all the wrestlers who have died and be like, Hulk Hogan, still fucking going.
Mm-hmm. Well, shit, Jake Roberts.
Well, okay.
Jake Roberts, Scott Hall, X-Pac.
Maybe Hogan's doing some DDP yoga. Yeah, X-Pac had his fucking asshole ripped wide open. He's still going at it.
He hung himself with a garden hose.
Okay, that too.
I think that would do more damage than a rectal tear.
So then, I guess, going from there, you have to discuss WrestleMania 30, which I think most people agree is 60% the best WrestleMania ever.
Yeah.
And the other 40%, not necessarily the worst, but maybe up there.
No. Though, if anyone's saying that's the worst WrestleMania, they're fucking idiots. I'm just going to come right out and say that. You're a fucking idiot.
Just going to, let's see. Pull up the match list here, and we will go down it one by one. First off, after fucking an hour and 30 minutes of pre-show bullshit.
God, that was a long-ass pre-show.
It was. Fatal 4-Way match, the Tag Team Championship. The Usos, Jimmy and Jay, who are the champions, defending against Diego and Fernando with El Torito, Los Matadores. Cesaro and Jack Swagger, the Real Americans, and then, of course, Ryback and Curtis Axel. The Fatal 4-Way match, not great. The Usos versus the Real Americans, however, was fantastic.
Yeah, once they got rid of the Los Matadores and Ryback-Axel, God, that name, it turned into a really, really good tag team match.
It did. Really solid match. As we predicted, of course, the Usos retained. And also, as we predicted, Cesaro and Swagger finally broke up. Cesaro had a really good WrestleMania.
He did, and I'm glad that he did, because I'm looking forward to his future.
I'm looking forward to his singles run, yes. Really great night for Cesaro, who hit the Cesaro swing on Jack Swagger and officially ended the Real Americans. I guess technically it officially ended on Raw. We'll get to that in a minute.
Yeah.
But... moving on from there, WrestleMania finally started, kicking off with, again, the match we predicted would go first, Daniel Bryan versus Triple H. Winner gets entered in the triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. I did not expect Daniel Bryan to so soundly beat the shit out of Triple H in this match.
He sort of needed to.
I get that he needed to, and I was hoping he would. I just did not expect it to actually happen.
Yeah, it was a really good match. Both guys did really, really well. And then they did a really good job after the match of adding the sympathy to Daniel Bryan with the post-match beatdown.
Yes. The whole, is he going to be able to even compete? How can he win? Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. Daniel Bryan also had a really good WrestleMania. That was a great match. I'm glad they didn't cheap out and do the rematch on Raw. I'm glad they kind of pussied out on that. Because I certainly did not want to see that match for the second night in a row. It is probably setting up for something big at Extreme Rules, but...
War Games.
Yes. That's what everybody is saying, and that would not surprise me.
Even though I don't think that they're going to do that.
I don't think anyone who watches their quote-unquote product even knows what War Games is, aside from the older fans. Excuse me.
Which is a shame. It's a... Well, I mean, the reason why they shouldn't do it is an old concept. Mm-hmm. But it would be kind of cool for the older fans anyway to revive that, at least for one night. Anyway,
see a War Games match, yeah. Especially since now it looks like they basically have Evolution reformed with Kane in the Ric Flair role for some reason.
Yeah, he's the Barry Windham that replaced Ole Anderson.
I guess I should mention times too. This was a really well timed out WrestleMania. It actually ended like right on the button. I was very happy with that. Normally, their pay per views run a little short or well, run a little short. They don't run over. No. WCW taught everybody that lesson.
Raw runs over.
Raw runs over. Raw this week did not run over. A very well-timed-out Raw, and a very good Raw, too.
That didn't. The main event started at 11 o'clock.
It ended, like, right at 11:15, though, didn't it?
11:15, yeah, but that's the overrun.
Yeah.
They're supposed to end at 11. We're just so used to it running to 11:05 that...
Right. So mentioning the times, the pre-show tag match, 16 minutes. Bryan versus Triple H, 25:59. I'm just going to round these up, 26 minutes. Next up, six-man tag match, The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, and Roman Reigns versus the Kane and the New Age Outlaws. There's some cute little fucking name the internet's made up for them. I can't remember what it is. The Kane Age Outlaws, I think. I don't know. Six-man tag match that went exactly like it should have. The Shield fucking squashed Kane and the New Age Outlaws in 3 minutes.
Yes. There is no reason why The Shield, who had been running roughshod over the company for the last year and a half,
yeah,
there is no reason why these three young, strong guys should have gotten anything on the Outlaws and Kane. Three old guys from yesteryear.
Yeah. It's good to see it went like that. New Age Outlaws... really just kind of a nostalgia act at this point. I'm glad they didn't really get an offense in. That match went exactly how it should have been, especially since they're reestablishing the Shield as a face team now, and they're going to be teaming them with Cena. So going forward, that's a good setup for them. They did really injure Billy Gunn with that powerbomb at the end, though.
Yeah, he was coughing up blood, but he's fine.
He's fine. He's Billy Gunn. They were just like, look, Billy, a fresh ass. And he went, oh! And he licked it and he sticked it and everything was all right.
No one knows what you're talking about.
Was that too graphic? Moving on.
I'm sad that I do know what you're talking about.
When was the last time they played that theme?
Probably right before he became the one Billy Gunn. Fuck. Poor Billy Gunn has had so many terrible gimmicks, but all revolving around the same name.
Yeah.
It's like most bad gimmicks, like Kevin Nash has had a shitload of bad gimmicks, but they've all been different characters, but Billy Gunn is just whatever Billy Gunn. And they've all been bad.
So after this, it was a 31-man battle royale. There were 31 participants. Figure that one out.
I don't get why they didn't just take someone else out, because no one but Cesaro and Big Show mattered in this match.
Yeah. 31-man Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royale.
Andre the Giant.
I'm going to just run this list down real quick.
Oh, fuck, who gives a shit? No, they're all jobbers. Watch Superstars. You'll see them.
Kofi with another escape spot, which was, I think, the most ridiculous of the three.
I think that was botched, but also a little bit saved.
Yeah.
From how hard he hit the ground when he went out, but still was like, feet still on the steps, feet still there. See, yeah. Did it, saved it.
He was thrown out, landed on his fucking ass, slammed his head on the goddamn mat, but his feet, just from, like, the ankles down, were on the steel steps, and they ruled that he was not eliminated because of that.
Feet did not touch the floor.
Feet did not touch the floor. So, and then, like, a minute and a half later, he and Dolph Ziggler got thrown out at the same time. So, it was all for naught.
As are all of his miraculous saves.
Hey, remember when Kofi pinned Randy Orton, and we were all like, he's gonna get repackaged to get a big push?
If he hadn't just pissed off Orton when Orton was really tight with Hunter.
Yeah. But of course, the big moment at the end, which I think a lot of people were kind of calling, but I don't think we expected it to go quite like this. Cesaro and Big Show at the very end there. Fucking Cesaro, goddamn, picks up the Big Show and body slams him over the top rope.
Yeah.
It's no secret that he is of Superman level strength. The man is fucking insane.
And I submit that Cesaro has no bones in his arms. They are pure muscle. Just he has muscle. Some skinny fucking arms to be able to lift that much.
He's a little fucking dude by WWE standards.
Yeah.
He's a small guy. And the Big Show, what's he built at right now?
250.
Dude, I was about to say, he's billed at 471.
I think Rey Mysterio weighs 250.
I don't think Rey Mysterio even weighs 250. I think he weighs 250 with, like, a pocket full of nickels. He's billed at 175. Big Show, though, billed at 471, and, I mean, insane. And I am really excited for the upcoming push of Cesaro. I hope they give him his first name back, because I hate calling him Cesaro.
I don't mind the name.
People can't have first names anymore. We're sports entertainment.
Oh, they took away Big E's last name.
Yeah. Just when will they just start calling him Kara?
Kara and Ray. And Kofi.
Great. Kofi.
Orton. Batista's already there.
There's kind of a running joke about why you can't have Kofi Kingston win the King of the Ring tournament. You don't want to call him King. You don't want to call him King Kofi Kingston.
That's bad, internet. You should feel ashamed.
No, you shouldn't. Keep doing this, internet. It's awesome. I am really looking forward to the inevitable Cesaro versus Daniel Bryan match we're going to get in the main event of a pay-per-view. I think it's going to be fucking awesome.
Cesaro is just going to chuck Bryan around.
Just fucking pick him up and like throw him like a lawn dart into the crowd.
Yeah. You remember when Bam Bam picked Spike up and press slammed him into the crowd?
They're going to start selling Daniel Bryan lawn darts. They'll have like big fake beards on them. That's actually, I should send that idea to WWE. That's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
You're Superstar lawn darts.
You're welcome for the money, WWE. I'll be expecting my check in the mail.
Good luck selling lawn darts. What the fuck is a lawn dart? So Cesaro wins the Battle Royale by eliminating the Big Show. And then the Big Show was all like, hey, dude, it's cool, and shook his hand.
Oh, yeah, because they're both awesome. Babyfaces.
Yeah, because they're both, well, is Cesaro a babyface? We'll get to that. We'll get to that when we talk about Raw. So after this, that ran for 13 and a half minutes, by the way.
Wow, really?
Yeah. I thought it was longer than that.
Yeah, that felt longer. I think just because so little happened until the last two guys were in there.
Yeah, that match really was just an excuse to have... by the way, you did catch the sly little nod there, right?
What?
A real American body slammed the Giant?
Ah, yes. Yeah. I knew... I got that it was a Hogan-Andre thing, but...
On the 27th anniversary... No, wait, what? Maybe should have waited 3 years to do that big spot, because now when they try to do it again... Unless they can find another 450-pound man to body slam.
If only they had another one.
Oh, if only. Maybe they're working on cloning the Big Show. They can have the Big Show and the Little Show.
No? They're going to team it with Hornswoggle?
Yes.
Hey, Little Show.
That's what they're going to do. They're just going to bring Hornswoggle out with like 400 pounds of weight strapped to his back. Call him the Little Show.
They got to hire Meatball, the world's largest midget.
And then, of course, you know, they hyped up how big that fucking trophy was so Cesaro could lift it by himself. Oh, five guys got to move this fucking thing.
Yeah.
I get the impression it did really weigh as much as they said it did.
Judging from how it broke on Raw, yeah. No, that bronze Andre that was on the top was made of styrofoam.
Yeah, and somebody absolutely called it as soon as Cesaro won it. They was like, man, that trophy's going to look really cool when Jack Swagger breaks it on Raw. Yeah. So after that, we had Cena versus Bray Wyatt, 22 and a half minutes, described as Return of the Jedi with sweaty men. I think my favorite spot was where John Cena's got the chair, holding it over Bray Wyatt, and instead of the ref going, taking the chair and going, that's not legal. No, John, don't do it. Think of your legacy. This isn't you. Just take the fucking chair. You're the ref, man. Good match, but once Cena won was when the quality of the pay-per-view kind of went down up until the main event.
I disagree.
You disagree?
I disagree.
That's because we have differing opinions on the streak match. I don't think we really have differing opinions on it. I just kind of have pipe dreams. Good match, though.
Yeah.
Good match.
Really good match.
I mean, I guess I'm surprised Cena won, but you know they're wanting to keep that... Supposedly they're going to keep pushing the Cena versus Wyatt feud for a little bit, so... Which I don't know.
Which, it'll work if, I know people have said this to death, but it'll work if it leads to a Cena heel turn.
Yeah.
If they finally, like, if Wyatt gets in his head, because right now you've got, I'm still saying Cesaro's a face, you got him, you got Shield going as a babyface team, you got Bryan, it's like, we're kind of overrun with top babyfaces now.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes sense to turn Cena, who has always, for the last like 12 years, been the top guy, to turn into the top heel.
Right, and I do agree with that. We are finally in a scenario where you can turn Cena heel, you did really have an opportunity for.
Right.
They wouldn't do it when Punk was there. I love Punk. I'm a huge Punk mark, but he didn't draw the numbers they wanted him to. That's unfortunate. That's not entirely Punk's fault. They were still putting Cena in the main event of all their pay-per-views when he was the champion. They never really gave him that big push. He did his awesome Money in the Bank thing and then just kind of hung around just above the fucking mid-card. Until The Rock came back and beat his ass 2 pay-per-views in a row.
Well, I think with Punk, they were trying to groom him to be the top babyface, but they were still playing it a little too safe.
Right.
Like, they could have given him that top spot, but they didn't want to put him there and then have him maybe just fucking leave out of the blue. So,
I don't know where you would get an idea that that would happen. So, of course, after this, running at 25 minutes long, I think the shortest of all the streak matches, Brock Lesnar fucking defeats The Undertaker. A moment that I acknowledge it was time to do.
Right.
We were definitely at the point where, I mean, I wasn't even watching the match. I looked over at one point and saw Undertaker picking up Brock for that tombstone. You know, the one where he missed the fucking mat by a foot.
No, actually, I don't, because the bell rang, we got the first F5, and then the computer I was watching it on took a shit. I spent that entire match trying to get my computer setup working again, and then when I got back, it was just in time for Taker to pick him up for the tombstone, Brock to reverse it, hit the F5, and win.
Right.
So even more of a shock that it's like, I missed the entire fucking thing, and Brock still won.
He hits this first tombstone, and, you know, I see him pick it up for it. And, of course, the first thing I say is, well, here comes Kickout Mania. Because I was fully expecting, like, another 30 minutes of kickouts. He picks him up for this tombstone and drops him. And, like, Brock's head is, like, a foot off the mat when he drops him. It's painfully obvious he didn't get anywhere near it. And I defended it. I said, you know, Taker's a big dude, and Brock's got that real kind of short wrestler's torso. So he can't really get him position for it, but oh god, it looks fucking bad.
Go back and watch every fucking Undertaker match for the last 25 years. The guy's never, like, landed a tombstone convincingly.
Yeah. We do now know, because I remember the match was also kind of, they're calling it methodical now, which is a nice way of saying it was kind of boring. But we now know that's because Undertaker suffered a concussion. Nobody knows for sure when he suffered it, but it's believed it was when Brock did that leg takedown early on, which also injured the Undertaker's leg.
Which, it's also said that Undertaker, in the back, told Brock that he was going to be running the match.
Yeah.
He was going over, so he was the one who was going to have to call it. Brock probably hasn't had to call a match in 15 fucking years.
Yeah. And let's just go and get this out of the way. It wasn't called on the fly. It wasn't a swerve. Taker didn't call it in the ring. That was the planned ending.
I hate that people are going, no, it was last minute and Taker called it in the ring. How the hell did they get all the graphics and shit that they put up on every screen done if it was done on the fly?
In their defense, they could have easily whipped up both sets of graphics.
They wouldn't have if it wasn't
just
planned.
Just in case.
No, just in case, please. It's just WWE. They don't do stuff for just in case. If something went wrong, there wouldn't have been any graphics on the screen. They don't do shit for just in case. Fuck. What's wrong with you, Mark? Jesus.
So, that was the planned ending. I do, like I said, it was time to do it. I don't think, I wasn't even paying attention to the match, like I said. And when it happened, they got the fucking reaction they were looking for the 30th anniversary of WrestleMania. 70,000 people just stopped talking. That was fucking eerie.
It was. It was good, though. It added a lot to how sort of emotional that should have been.
Yeah, it was a big fucking deal.
Because God lost $20 on that one.
Yeah. Now they are saying a lot of, like, bookies are pissed because a lot of websites lost a lot of money on that one. But if you're betting on wrestling, I feel like you had that coming.
Yeah, you're really taking out wrestling odds? It's a fucking work, guys. It's not real.
I do.
They're bigger marks than the people thinking that they could just whip up the graphics in 3 seconds.
I do still wish it could have went to someone a little younger that's going to be around more than part time, so they could do something with, you know, the man who broke the streak. there really isn't anyone groomed to do that right now, unfortunately. I just wish that, you know, the next time this is mentioned won't be fucking SummerSlam. And I do also wish it could have just been a little bit better of a match.
Yeah, well, the match, I mean, that is what it is. It's like, yeah, that's neither guy's fault, really. Someone got hurt and was knocked loopy for most of it.
Absolutely.
As far as giving it to Brock, though, like I've said numerous times.
Like you've been tweeting for 4 days.
Since it happened, I just have to put all the marks in their fucking place. Brock was, well, first of all, that's Taker's choice. He pitched it back when they had the little stare down that Brock should be the one to end it.
Yeah. Now, Taker has pitched on numerous occasions that someone break the streak. I think I mentioned this last week. Brock was pitched to break it. Supposedly, Kane has had a standing offer to break it anytime he wants. And I seem to recall being said he wanted Orton to break it to cement his Legend Killer gimmick. Mm-hmm. And WWE basically told him no for years. He's a fucking reverse jobber with that streak by the time this comes around. I think I'm going to let him go over. Nah, Taker, we need you to win this one.
But
he is Mirror Universe Zack Ryder.
So not only that, but then it's also Brock has more in the tank than Undertaker. So he can still carry on. It's not a young guy that's going to be touting it every week, which it would just get fucking annoying. So he's a guy that can show up and be like, hey, remember me? I'm the guy who beat The Undertaker. He has a legitimate fighting background, which if a wrestler beat Undertaker, and we've already sort of established that no wrestler could beat Undertaker, it was good for a guy with a legitimate fighting background to beat The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. And also, whoever beats The Undertaker is going to be a heel forever. Forever. And Brock Lesnar is fine being a heel forever.
I didn't catch that, Terry Funk.
Forever. Forever.
So I guess, really, two big questions. And hey, why don't you tweet us at, at the Homeworld. That works. Or leave a comment in the post box. A, do you think Undertaker's done? And B, do you think we're ever going to see a streak again that's going to be this natural, not manufactured?
No, we had this conversation with Ben the night that it happened.
Yeah, yeah. So I am leaning towards him being done. The fact that he got in the ring and just immediately got injured, I think he's done. I don't think he'll... I mean, maybe if they do sign Sting, maybe come back and do that, but... I mean, Jesus Christ, over 20 years. I would like him to come back and do, like, one last farewell match, but at the same time, I'd really prefer not to watch The Undertaker die in the ring. Like, legit die, not fucking, we buried him alive, and he comes back 3 weeks later as the Biker Taker.
No, I...
keeps rolling.
Other than the fact that they're both sort of gothic gimmicks, the dream match for me has never been Undertaker and Sting.
Right.
It's like, I sort of get gimmick-wise why those two should go together, but I've always thought, like, back when I was a youngster booking my, like, dream WCW versus WWE show...
Nerd!
It was Rock and Sting.
Yeah.
Because they were kind of the top guy who wasn't really the top guy.
I do see where, if they are trying to do Sting versus Undertaker at 31... I do see why this would have been the year to break the streak. Because if you have Undertaker versus Sting with the streak on the line at WrestleMania, there's no way in hell they're going to let Sting go over the Undertaker.
No.
Sting's not going to walk into the company after 10 fucking years and achieve the biggest fucking accomplishments. Then bring him in for a special attraction, do a big match. He'll fucking go out on his back or something. He's not going to win at WrestleMania, though. Especially not his first year.
I don't think, no matter what, Sting ain't going to win against Undertaker. Even if they book it now and just be like, have Taker be like, I lost the streak. I'm old. I ain't got nothing left. The only thing that I have left is people want to see me fight you. Then Undertaker's going to win.
Yeah. That being said, I love The Undertaker. He's been one of my favorites for years. He puts on really good matches. He's got a really great character that I've enjoyed for years. But I'm ready to see him hanging up. I've been ready to see him hanging up for a few years now. I don't think he's in as bad a shape as anyone thinks he is. I think he's got a lot more left of the tank than he's letting on, but I think he's also in his 50s. He's a little broken down, and he's got a kid that's only a few years old at home. I'd like to see him just take that Legends contract and be the ambassador for the company and spend some time with his family.
I'd like to see him not collapse in an Arizona hotel.
Yeah. Rest in peace, warrior. By the way, it's telling how wrestling has affected the world, because I told my friend this morning who doesn't really watch wrestling, Jesus Christ, the Ultimate Warrior died last night, and he said, so is he really dead, or is this a story thing? No, he's really dead!
Is this a gimmick death?
There was a moment where last night I was thinking, maybe they're just, like, killing him for a gimmick?
Yeah. Warrior's dead, but Jim Helwig's fine.
Jim Helwig just comes out and goes, Warrior's dead! Rest in peace, Warrior.
Yeah, Taker's 49, Warrior was 53, so we'll see in 4 years how Undertaker's holding up.
So again, the second question, I think we both agree on this. I don't think there's going to be another streak that'll be as natural as this.
No, Ben was saying that they'll probably try it again.
Oh, yeah, they'll probably try to manufacture
it. But it'll be manufactured. It won't be as good because it'll be manufactured. Like we've said a couple of times on here, the reason why Undertaker's streak felt special is because they didn't realize they were doing it for the first, like, 12 years. Undertaker was just the right guy to have win at WrestleMania, and then they were like, hold on, this is kind of a thing now.
Yeah. And now, I mean, every time, too, I was making a point here, shit, I can't remember. Every time he had a match at WrestleMania, like you said, it wasn't a big deal. And even when they realized it, it was always just kind of a, oh, by the way, you know, I'm undefeated at WrestleMania. I think they made a little bit of a big deal about it with Orton, but it didn't really become, Jesus Christ, you can't beat The Undertaker at WrestleMania until Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, when he was, like, that push was really, like, that made it a thing. Like, we gotta defeat the streak now. That made it, like, a championship to win.
Yeah, I mean, I would dare say that for the last few years, that streak has been a bigger deal than the fucking championship.
Mm-hmm.
But you had the streak era for The Undertaker, where that first year after 25 was his last year as a full-time performer, wrestler, whatever. And then you just had the six big streak matches.
Yeah, the streak became a thing when Undertaker only showed up at WrestleMania.
Yes. I don't know who they would do it with now. They're not going to be able to surprise people, not anymore, because now everybody's going to be looking for it. Now we've got people keeping records on the internet. RVD is 4-0 right now. He's the longest undefeated streak.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be him.
I don't think it's going to be RVD.
I don't think he's got 22 years left in him.
I don't think I want to see RVD come back out in 10 years and be like, you know, I'm 14-0 at WrestleMania. They don't really, for a while there, people were saying The Miz, but he lost the Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know of anyone else who is undefeated at WrestleMania now.
Like I said, the Shieldies all are, and so we'll be talking about Seth Rollins in 20 years. If he's not, as you said, sitting next to Dolph Ziggler and old folks home eating pudding.
Every once in a while having a match.
Seth Rollins?
Yeah, Seth Rollins and Dolph Ziggler in their wheelchairs with their pudding. Every once in a while one of them gets chocolate and the other one's like, I wanted chocolate. They just roll at each other.
Get in their wheelchairs and have a joust with their canes.
Yes. Wrestlers that have won all their matches at WrestleMania. Yeah, I don't think they're building a streak with any of these guys. Animal is 3-0. Axe is 3-0. Hawk is 3-0. Rob Van Dam is 4-0. Oh, here we go. Here's your next streak. Oh. Sable is 3-0.
There you go.
Sable. Brock, it's...
Brock's going to have to beat her.
Sable's like, I've got another streak you need to break. The fans get excited because, you know, boobies. And she's like, pin me in the ring, Brock. And then it just gets weird.
Old as Sable shit.
Old as shit. You're correct.
She's 46.
Old beef.
So in 20 years, she's going to be 66 years old. Do we really want to see 66-year-old Sable?
I don't know. I mean, 46-year-old Sable honestly doesn't look that bad. So why not?
I certainly don't want to see her wrestling. I'll put it that way.
You don't want to see her wrestling at 46.
I don't want to see 25-year-old Sable wrestling.
So after that, a match that did not have big connotations until the next night on Raw, the 14 Diva WWE Divas Championship match. First time the Divas Championship was defended at WrestleMania.
See, everyone says that, and I was like, no, it's not. I forget that it's not the women's title.
Yeah. the women's championship was last defended at, I want to say, 26. I want to say 26. I'm probably, because I think, did Natalya win it at 26?
Sure, we'll say that.
Because they were on their Bret Hart push.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Because 26 was the year Bret came back, and everybody was like, oh, Bret Hart! And so, yeah. You remember that kind of weird period where, like, you know, the Hart dynasty had the tag belts, and Natalya had the Divas belt, and it was like, all right. These are people.
Yeah, where they were like, no, Brett, see, we like the Hearts. We gave all of them championships that don't fucking matter.
Yeah, then they took the titles off all of them and fired Davey Boy and went, no, we still love Brett. Now that he's signed to a contract, we're going to do
whatever. Ha-ha, you signed a Legends deal. We own you. Ha-ha-ha. Ha-ha, told you.
Here's our money. This match also, I thought it went longer than it did. 6.5 minutes, or yeah, about 7 minutes. About 7 minutes. I thought it was longer than that. But, I mean, that was... I told a friend of mine, I was like, Divas match has got to be next because this is going to be your cool down match because everybody's going to be so fucking tired after cheering through all the fucking kickouts that you got to cool them down before the main event. And then it's just kind of like the whole Divas match, the crowd is still like, what the fuck just happened?
Yeah, they were still in shock over Undertaker. I don't even think you could, if you asked anybody who was live there who won the Divas match, they'd be like, what fucking Divas match? They're just catatonic through the whole goddamn thing.
They could have rolled out the reanimated corpse of Mae Young to win that match, and nobody would have noticed. Zombie Mae Young could be your Divas champion right now, and nobody would realize it until Monday when they went, what's that smell? AJ Lee won. Bit of a disparity here. Naomi, obviously tapping with one hand. However, on the camera side, AJ Lee is quote-unquote forcing her to tap by holding her hand and slapping it against the ring. WWE, of course, chose to acknowledge AJ cheating.
Yeah, saying that the ref only saw through Naomi's legs that her hand was tapping and didn't see that it was AJ doing it, even though on referee's side, Naomi was tapping out. So,
yeah.
Really?
So what the fuck? Not that it matters.
No, it ended up not mattering at all, so who gives a fuck?
Yep, we'll get to that in a minute. That match was, as expected, mostly a clusterfuck. Kudos to the Bellas for those suicide dives, though. That was pretty impressive. Did not expect that.
It's much like the tag match in the pre-show, once they got most of the girls kind of outside,
yeah,
and it came down to, like, Tamina, Natalya, Naomi, and AJ, then it sort of picked up. It wasn't too bad when it got to them, but yeah, when it started out and it was all 14 girls in the ring at the same time just throwing punches, it was, she's fucking Christ.
I don't know if you noticed, there was one point where all the Divas, or most of the Divas, were hitting finishers on each other. Eva Marie, I don't know any wrestling moves, just shoves somebody and rolls out of the ring.
Yeah, I think that's when she had this, like, awkward stare down with Natalya, where it was like, what are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do? Because she can't fucking do anything until Natalya got up and clotheslined her.
Yeah, and even then, what are you seriously gonna do against Natalya?
Yeah.
Even total Divas.
Eva Marie's finisher is taking a bump.
Yeah, and she can barely do that. Oh, Eva Marie.
She somehow managed to learn how to take a bump without breaking her neck. Kudos. Kudos.
I am so glad that right now, in theory, based on what they did on Raw, the Divas division is not going to be built around fucking total Divas anymore. Yeah. Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
For the next couple months.
Yeah, at least not until after Extreme Rules.
Yeah.
So, of course, after this, the main event, 23 minutes, Daniel Bryan, Randy Orton, and Batista, triple threat match for the World Heavyweight Championship. Fucking great match. Daniel Bryan's so fucking over. The world is behind Daniel Bryan, I feel.
Well, again, they did just a superb job of making him so goddamn sympathetic.
Yeah. And, you know, everybody said for months, it was like, oh, God, they can't keep screwing Bryan over like this, blah, blah, blah. It's like, just fucking wait and see. They're not going to do all this shit to him for 3 months and then give him the belt at TLC.
Yeah.
And this is a rare example of wait and see paying off. 6 months of Daniel Bryan being completely screwed over paid off when he made fucking Batista tap out in the middle of the ring.
Even though I still don't think initially the plan was to have Bryan in the main event.
I don't either.
I think that after Batista... I don't think that WWE realized how over Bryan really was until Royal Rumble.
Yeah. I think if they were going to put Bryan in the main event from the get-go, this wouldn't have been a triple threat. They would have hot-shotted the belt over to Batista and had Bryan win the Rumble.
Yeah.
Randy Orton would not figure in. Fucking Two Strikes, Lotion, and Handbag Randy Orton would not have factored into the WrestleMania 30 main event.
He's kept his nose clean long enough. He's probably got at least one of those strikes expunged.
I guess we forgot to mention, too, how WrestleMania 30 appeared to be the Chris Benoit Memorial WrestleMania.
Cross faces, flying headbutts, and rolling German suplexes.
Rolling Germans. Well, then also mirroring WrestleMania 20, a triple threat that ended in a submission hold in the main event with somebody who you never would have expected to wind up being a champion winning the belt.
Yeah, the underdog against two superstar, quote, legends, whatever.
All they were missing was having Camacho come out and hug Daniel Bryan.
Sid Cara, what are you doing out here?
Just points at Daniel and hugs him, and Daniel's like, okay.
No, I feel awful for even having said this, but I'm going to repeat it here. That I told Matt that, like, Bryan has, like, a crossface-ish finishing move. He started doing the diving headbutt. I think that he's just been a big enough thorn in WWE's side and won't go away that they're like, maybe if we give him all of Benoit's moves, he'll go nutty and just fucking kill himself and we'll be rid of him.
And they don't want to do that now. They'll lose a Bella.
They lost the Bellas before and they were fine.
Yeah. Were they? Yeah. Were they? Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were. Great match, though. Even, like, props to Batista and Orton, who put on a good show. That fucking RKO Batista bomb, or Batista bomb into a reverse RKO, where Orton just landed, like, flat on the fucking monitor, to get up from that and still go like he did. I give props to Randy Orton when he puts on a good show, and that was a good show.
Yeah, he's probably still pissing blood from landing on that fucking thing, and...
Yeah.
He deserves credit for at least continuing as well as he did. I don't think I could have.
I would have been done. They would have fucking rolled me out. I'd be sharing a hospital room with The Undertaker.
They bring over the stretcher for Brian for the injury spot, and you're like climbing up on the stretcher. No, me first! Me first! I'm actually hurt!
The injury spot. Right then, it was like, so he's winning the belt, huh? Roll him out on the stretcher, quick. I talk a lot of shit about Randy Orton. When he's a fucking heel in the main event, I tend to find him boring. But that kind of stretch there where he was a face and had the World Heavyweight title and was kind of like not the main event, but just above the mid-card main event in SmackDown, I really enjoyed that Randy Orton.
See, I can't stand face Randy Orton.
Well, he was, you know, he was fun. There was kind of a weird face Randy Orton there for a little bit, doing fucking star jumps in the middle of the ring and... he was just being kind of goofy with it. Maybe because he didn't give a shit. That was fun. And then,
when he was, like, right fresh off his second strike, and he's like, I'm gonna get fired.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have fun with this while I still have a job and getting paid for it, because I'm gonna get fired.
Yeah, and there are times when heel Randy Orton is still fun. I'm glad he doesn't have the belt anymore. I was fucking done with face of the WWE Randy Orton about 3 months ago. I imagine him and Brian are gonna clash at some point soon, since Orton lost the belt and wasn't the one who submitted.
Yeah, which a lot of people are saying, like, Brian needed to cement the win, get a solid no questions asked finish, but they got to come back next month, so
yeah,
it made sense.
Yeah, he got his solid win over Batista. He tapped out Batista in the middle of the ring, and that's what the fans wanted to see, was Batista lose. Now they can put him and Orton in a one-on-one match with no interference, and again, much like the Triple H match that opened up WrestleMania, they'll do a main event where Brian just beats the shit out of Randy Orton for 20 minutes and pins him.
Yeah.
And they'll fucking throw Hogan in there somewhere where he goes, I'm gonna fucking call it right down the middle, brother dude, Jack. And somebody will come out wearing Ultimate Warrior tassels, or maybe Brian will ride a girl's bicycle to the ring. That's close enough, right? You've seen that picture, right?
I want to see Brian come out wearing the Warrior tassels.
Not like his own Warrior tassels. He just gets the Warrior tassels, and they're like way too big for him.
Yeah, he's like got to wear them around his thighs.
He's like tripping on the way to the ring. Really good main event. Was not surprised at all to see Shenanigans, Triple H, and Sledgey. Was surprised to see Triple H take Sledgey to the face, though.
But of course, I tell you, it's like it served the story.
Yeah.
And
to everyone who Triple H buries everybody, I'd like to show you WrestleMania 30.
It's, I know that he has his own opinions as to who is good and who isn't,
mm-hmm.
and that's not always what the fans agree with, but It's like, I don't think that he's the villain twisting his mustache saying, I'm going to keep him down.
Yeah.
Like the internet so likes to paint him as.
It is worth noting, if I remember the stats correctly, with WrestleMania 30 included, Triple H as a heel has never won at WrestleMania.
No, I don't think he has. WrestleMania 2016.
WrestleMania 16?
Yeah. He was a heel then.
Let's see
I'm
here.
I'm pretty sure he walked out with the belt.
WrestleMania 16. Triple H defeated The Rock, Mick Foley, and Big Show. Four-way elimination match.
Yep.
Okay.
So at least once.
But since but since WrestleMania 16, maybe the stat was 1-on-1 then, because that was a four-way. Hey-o. So, WrestleMania 30. Fucking good WrestleMania.
Really good show.
Dipped in quality pretty hard in the middle there, but still one of the better WrestleManias. Great main event, great payoff, big, big fucking moments, and the rise of Cesaro, the King of Swing, Antonio Cesaro.
I don't like King that of name. Swing. King I don't like that name. I don't want it.
I was really impressed how on the ball the crowd was with that.
Yeah, they grabbed it real quick and ran with it, but I don't want that to be his name, and it's gonna be.
So let's just hit the highlights real quick. Because we're already running a little longer than I expected.
Yeah, we're already an hour into this, and we haven't even talked about Captain America.
That's fine. This will be a super size. Welcome to Roomful of Nerd Stuff XXL.
It's going
to
be another 2-hour podcast, but this one we will not talk about Power Rangers.
Shh, don't say its fucking name, because we could probably do another one about Power Rangers.
At least not 2 hours straight of it like we did the other time.
That was the first 2-hour one we did, and the first time we really talked about Power Rangers, it gets a pass. So, Raw the next night. Just going to kind of hit the highlights here. Making her fucking debut. Thank God I was so excited for this. Paige, finally up from NXT. Not a great match, but I think she was fucking nervous.
Well, it was supposed to look like the rookie upset.
Yeah.
So I don't know that it was nerves so much as her just doing what they wanted her to do, where it's like AJ just defeated 14 other girls. And now you're going to have to go out there and kind of do the surprise roll-up.
Yeah. There is a great, I don't know if you saw it, a great little clip of her backstage right after she won. She's fucking crying. And she's like, oh my God, that crowd was insane. And somebody goes, yeah, they were insane. And she's like, they knew me. They're not supposed to know who I am. I'm really glad to see her get called up. My future ex-wife, Paige. Maybe some fucking life in the Divas division again. Maybe they'll get fucking Emma away from Santino, because she's way better than she is when they pair her with fucking Santino and have them be awkward.
She is way better than the gimmick they give her.
Yeah.
Which, that's like watching her in NXT, where she comes out doing that goofy fucking dance, and then, like, when the bell rings, a switch gets flipped.
Yeah.
And she's fucking Dean Malenko. And then the bell rings again, and she's Santino again.
Yeah. Glad to see Paige come in. Glad to see them put the belt on her in her debut, too. That was a big deal. She is now the current WWE Divas Champion and the current and to date only NXT Divas Champion. And obviously the first person to hold both titles. Who knows if we'll see that again. Of course, this puts us in a pickle.
The first person to hold a NXT and WWE Championship at the same time.
This is true. Paige is two firsts.
And the youngest Divas Champion.
Of course, this... My God, Paige, look at you. You're making history left and right. And she broke the streak. She ran in really fast and pinned The Undertaker. You didn't see her. She was behind Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, you gotta play it in slow motion, but she's laying between Taker and Brock, lucky bastards. And
it was a sexy roll-up. You've heard of fruit roll-ups. This was a sexy roll-up.
Let's not talk about Batman's mask.
Ah! This puts us in a pickle, though, because, I mean, she's going to have to drop the NXT championship at some point so the NXT Divas have something to fight over. So, now that she has pinned the Divas champion on Raw, who the fuck do you have pin her on NXT? Natalya, I guess, but do you really want to stick Natalya in NXT?
Well, she's already regular enough in NXT that I don't think it would matter, but at the same time, they've got a couple new girls that, like, just showed up. They've got... Like, I'd say Charlotte would be my first choice.
Sticking on Flair's daughter? Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Give her a figure four. Miz didn't fucking do shit with it. Give it to Charlotte.
I think Miz has already dumped the figure four. I haven't seen him do it in a while.
That's because he couldn't do the figure four. It was like a figure 3.5.
But yeah, I'd say give it to Charlotte. Maybe plug the whole Flair family thing a little bit harder. They kind of mention it, but don't.
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, it's Ric Flair's daughter. Yay.
I think that's another case of them being cautious, though, because who knows when Ric Flair's going to go back to raging hardcore alcoholic who bleeds on everything.
Yeah, giving everybody hepatitis.
Now, that being said, when Ric Flair kicks the bucket, she will be the biggest fucking Flair they've ever employed in their eyes.
Yeah.
That day will hopefully not be for a very long while. We don't want dead wrestlers.
Rest in peace, Warrior.
Rest in peace, Warrior. Let's see. Then, of course, Cesaro and Swagger officially separated. Cesaro, a Paul Heyman guy, because, you know, Brock Lesnar's got to go away for 6 months, so they've got to do something with him.
Right. Even though I know he's got an accent, and he can be kind of difficult to understand, but I don't think Cesaro needs a manager.
He doesn't. I think it's mainly because Swagger's going to keep Zeb, and they want somebody to counter Zeb. Because now you can put Paul Heyman and Zeb in the ring and have them run their mouths to each other for 20 minutes, and you get fucking Paul Heyman, the devil's advocate, and Zeb Coulter, the biggest racist in the world, going back and forth for 20 minutes. That can make for an entertaining segment.
And until the inevitable match that they're going to have against each other.
Well, they'll just have Cesaro knock Swagger out and swing Zeb, and Paul will, I don't know, hit somebody with a kendo stick and call it a day.
Going to pull out the big 90s cell phone that he had in WCW and whack Zeb with it.
That would be amazing.
Hey, Zeb, Zach Morris says hi. Clang.
Go for it. Why not?
Book it.
Book it. And then, of course, his post WrestleMania season, which means it's time for call ups. Adam Rose, who I've not seen, promo video kind of pisses me off because I enjoyed Austin Powers when I was 12, but I don't want to see it on Raw.
To be fair, Vince has probably just seen Austin Powers.
This is fucking hilarious. They hide his dick. And then, of course, the promo that made me say, oh, we're going to finally see this little shit on Raw. And then I was like, oh, right, we've already seen him on Raw like 2 years ago, and that failed. Are you a believer, Mike?
Fuck.
You gotta believe. There is something really great about Bo Dallas and that he was a face champion and the crowd didn't get behind him, and he said, cool, I'm gonna be a smarmy little shit now. And he's turned it into this really kind of cool gimmick. Mike, tell me how I'm wrong.
Like, he looks like a child molester when he smiles. It's just, it really just sort of unsettles me. It's not like a smarmy thing where it's like, I want him to get his ass kicked just to shut him up. It's like, I don't want to see him because he makes me feel dirty.
Right.
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
I don't like it. I'm sure that Bo Dallas is a nice guy.
Probably not. You think they will do anything with Bo and Bray?
I hope not.
They are brothers. Wait until the next the next old school Raw.
I mean, I
they're munching on corn dogs, and the IRS comes up and he's like, y'all didn't pay your taxes, and steals their corn dogs. For some reason, we have created this fantasy world where IRS fucking loves corn dogs.
How did you even come up with that?
Well, because we did that thing where AJ Styles wins the Royal Rumble, and like he's like, I'm just take this corn dog, and yanks it right out of IRS's mouth.
This is how much memory goes into this podcast. I don't remember this conversation.
I know you don't.
Are you sure we had it and you just didn't think it up one night?
It's on YouTube, Mike.
Okay.
It's on the internet.
But anyway, no, it'll kill Bray Wyatt if they do anything putting them together.
Right.
If at any point the Bray Wyatt gimmick starts getting stale, and when the Bo-Lever inevitably gets stale, then maybe put them together.
Uh-huh.
But for right now, and for the next, I'd say at least 4 years, just leave them apart.
Just leave them be?
Yeah. Because it wouldn't serve either party to be affiliated with one another.
Okay. I'm trying to remember what else big happened on Raw. I think that was really kind of, Paul Heyman cut a pretty decent promo.
Yeah, you had Heyman screaming while Brock was standing behind him looking as Brock does.
At least he did, you know, I broke the streak!
And then somehow Heyman is now both heel and face as he...
Pretty impressive. You gotta give him some credit.
Yeah, as he manages both the guy that ended the streak and who is the bane of wrestling fans everywhere. And then also the guy that everyone seems to be behind even when he was a heel.
So, great Raw. Great WrestleMania. I look forward. This is the best time to be a wrestling fan. This is a little period after WrestleMania, leading up towards ultimately SummerSlam. They do some of their best work because right now WrestleMania is over, and they can kind of not panic as much. They can kind of throw everything at the wall and see what sticks, and then ultimately kind of redo it come WrestleMania season.
It's WrestleMania to SummerSlam seems to be kind of the big newsworthy stretch.
Yep.
As people are coming in, going, and they're setting stuff up for the next big show. From SummerSlam to about Royal Rumble, there's kind of a 6-month lull.
Yeah.
And then Royal Rumble obviously starts the road to WrestleMania. So again, it's like, yay! But yeah. First half of the year, really fun. Second half of the year, kind of like, well, now what do we do? Maybe we'll put Santa out there.
Yeah. We're going to dress Mick Foley up as Santa. Oh, that was the other big thing that happened on Raw. Bad News Barrett wrestled again.
Yes.
Good to see you in the ring, Wade Barrett.
And a really good match he had, too.
And he went over Kofi Kingston.
And I'm really hoping that they start using him more, because Wade Barrett is, like Emma, much better than the gimmicks they give him.
Now, with the Bad News Barrett gimmick, again, he has really kind of taken off with it and hit the ground running. And props to him for that.
Yeah, he took what should have been his ticket to TNA, and has actually turned it into something that's kind of worked.
And that's really impressive. I remember the first time I saw that, I was like, so Wade Barrett's gimmick is really going to be hanging out behind a podium, just kind of being an asshole. He turned it around. I really kind of enjoy when I see Bad News Barrett show up. They dropped the fucking ball not having him be the one to come out at the Raw in Chicago.
They dropped the ball not having him be the 30th guy in the Royal Rumble.
Yes,
when everyone's yelling yes, 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 and him to come out, sorry, I've got some bad news, Daniel Bryan's not here.
That would have been amazing.
Would have cemented him as a fucking heel.
So, of course, they didn't do that.
Yes.
And then Alexander Rusev debuted as well. It's funny, on the forum I frequent, they were talking about, hey, do you think Rusev's going to debut tonight? And somebody said, well, if you see Zack Ryder in the ring at some point, he'll know.
And that's exactly what happened.
When he walked out, I was like, oh, who's he going to find? They cut to Ryder. Oh, God, I laughed almost the entire match.
Which wasn't very long.
Wasn't very long. Poor Zack Ryder.
Laughed for a good, solid 90 seconds.
I laughed for about as long as it takes Zack Ryder to lay down. I don't even hate Zack Ryder.
Nothing against Rusev. Everything against WWE's paint-by-numbers booking. It's only a matter of time now before Rusev turns into some comedy gimmick.
Right.
Because it's what happens with every fucking monster that they bring in. They don't get over, because they just squash a bunch of people and then eventually get to John Cena, who has to win.
Right.
And then where do you go from there? And they just into cartoon characters.
That's what happened with Tensai, who came in and dominated, and then they put him against John Cena, and Cena couldn't lose to him twice. And then that's what happened with Ryback, too. They bring Ryback in, and you know they build him up as a guy on a winning streak, and then they want to put him in the main event, but they don't want him to win the title, so now you've got to put him in fucking triple threat matches so he doesn't get pinned. But you don't want to pin Cena, either. And you just run into this whole fucking dilemma.
Yeah, it's fun to have somebody come out and do the squash matches, but I really wish they would stop just billing them as fucking unstoppable monsters, because then they eventually become mortal, and then where do you go with them?
You go to the tag division
with
Curtis Axel.
They're going to be Bo Rusev.
Bruce.
When both those gimmicks fucking fail, and they got to stick them together.
I can't wait for the old school Raw where we get Husky Harris come back out.
Rusev, when Adam Rose fucking crashes and burns, because that character doesn't have any fucking legs either.
Is this the part of the podcast where you try to pair Rusev with as many wrestlers as possible and give them a cutesy name? Go for it.
Ryusev. That could be Ryder or Ryback.
I know.
Axel Xander.
Why would you not go with Kurtisev?
Kurtisev.
That sounds like Axel.
Alex.
I'm sorry. I think Kurtisev is actually the blood pressure medication Curtis Axel has to take.
Fuck, I've suddenly forgotten half the roster. Claysev?
So, Mike, we finally saw Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Tensev.
God damn it, Mike.
Kalisev. Sinkarsev.
Oh, yeah, one last wrestling note. Sunday was Ezekiel Jackson's last day as a contracted employee. Ezekiel Jackson, no longer with the WWE, the last ECW champion.
Jackson.
Unfortunately, I can see why he was not renewed, given that they have Big E and who's the other one?
Mark Henry?
Yes. They've got their quota of large, muscular black men, and they've got at least one that is not nearly as injury-prone. Zeke kept missing, like, long stretches of time because of injury. Like, I guess his fucking muscles were just held onto his bones with, I guess, fucking chicken fat or something. Chewing gum? Tissue paper?
Because he would hurt himself, and then, like, working out to get back into shape, to come back, he would hurt himself.
This does seem to be the new WWE strategy, though. They don't release anybody. They just wait for your contract to expire.
Well, I think they've made enough money recently that it's like it's no longer like in the 90s or even a couple years ago where they were kind of hurting.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, we're not going to use this guy. Let's stop paying him. It's like now they can afford, especially some of the lower card guys, to just be like, yeah, just wait it out. Like he'll still get his downside guarantee and we can pay that off, but we just won't book him.
Yeah. So Zeke Jackson, gone.
And it's also easier to explain that they just let somebody's contract run out than they fired someone when a certain someone else is promoting that they create jobs in the Senate.
Waka, waka, waka.
So you notice that they stopped announcing every firing that they had once Linda McMahon started running for shit saying that she was going to create jobs.
I think they figured it out. Sin Cara was the first person fired in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. And I don't think that would have happened if he hadn't gone on Twitter being like, fuck you, fake Sin Cara.
Oh,
they were like, we just need to clear this up now.
That was a great moment. Fraud! Fraud! So that was WrestleMania. Let's talk Captain America. I won't say it was better than The Avengers. It was a better movie. It was better put together as a film than The Avengers, I feel. But a lot of that is because most of the Avengers setup was in 5 separate movies before the Avengers came out. That being said, Captain America: The Winter Soldier, the best solo Marvel film to date. I will say it even trumps Iron Man in my eyes. Amazing story, and it completely shakes up not just the Marvel Cinematic Universe, going forward, but kind of sheds a new light on everything that came before it. Mike, how do you disagree with me? Because I'm sure you do.
I don't disagree with you.
What? Whoa, wait a minute. That's weird. The Ultimate Warrior's in my room.
It's like, as you were saying, the whole, like, I think it was put together. I think it was put together better. I'm fucking suddenly the kid from Operation Gamer.
And a neuter thing.
And another thing. Mothra.
Oh, zombies.
Let's not bury that fucking jobber. No, I was sort of disagreeing with you when you said that until you made the point that the setup for it was in 5 other movies, and I'm like, oh yeah, I guess if you just watch Avengers by itself without any of the others, it doesn't really work.
Yeah.
Where Captain America, you can kind of watch by itself.
Yeah. It is definitely a movie that was made with the idea of making sure going forward the next movies would not just be rehashes of the movies that came before it. If you have not seen The Winter Soldier, there are spoilers ahead, because I'm not going to pull any punches. Also, if you have not seen next week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
We said that at the beginning.
Yeah. If you haven't seen next week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., also, don't watch The Winter Soldier. or watch the Winter Soldier, but don't watch that first. and probably not listen to this. So, going forward now, knowing that that's out of the way and you people can't bitch that I ruined the movie for you, Winter Soldier, S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone in its entirety because it was infiltrated by Hydra. Finding out some of the agents we've seen, well, just the one agent, Agent Sitwell, who showed up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And was in one of the Marvel one-shot short films on the DVDs. Item 47, the one that was on the Avengers, actually. It's actually a Hydra agent.
Wait, 47? Who was that?
That was the one of the Avengers DVD where the two kids found the Chitauri gun that was still active. Item 47.
I never saw the special on the DVD.
Oh, well, I think they might only be on the Blu-rays. I can't remember. All the Blu-rays.
I don't even have the Avengers DVD, so.
Mike, what the hell, man?
I'm sorry.
God damn it, Mike! I mean, really great movie. Falcon was a great decision. I like how they handled him.
Yes, very good with him. I'm hoping that we don't see him in Avengers 2 wearing a red and blue or red and white gimmick.
Red and white spandex.
Yeah, because I was thinking about this before we started talking, like as I was kind of prepping myself for a podcast, that is one of the costumes, much like Hawkeye's, that fans are probably going to bitch about it being different in the movies, but it should be different in the movies.
Yeah. They've got Hawkeye as close as they can get him in Age of Ultron, from what I can see. They've given him a kind of trench coat looking thing. But you're not going to see the Buccaneer boots and the pointy mask, and I don't think we're going to see Falcon in the fucking red and white spandex. Or the 70s green and yellow plunging chest line.
No.
As I was saying, probably the best put-together Marvel movie to date. I would argue better put together than the Avengers, in that you don't have to watch 5 movies to get Captain America the Winter Soldier. I don't even think you really have to watch the first Avenger to get this one. They explain it all in the beginning.
Yeah, pretty much. He was frozen, and now he's fine.
And as much as I love the Winter Soldier, it is a 30-minute plot story spread out into 2.5 hours.
Yeah, the whole Winter Soldier thing, like I was saying before everything screwed up, is that it was a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie featuring Captain America and the Winter Soldier.
Exactly. And I guess that makes sense. They probably wanted to do a S.H.I.E.L.D. movie, but, you know, they can't.
Well, and also, I don't know that outside of the Avengers and outside of World War II, there's a whole lot you could do with Cap to make a movie out of.
There is, but it all has to involve S.H.I.E.L.D. or the government.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that really great story in the early 80s, I think it was, maybe late 70s, where the government's like, you're fucking Captain America, you're U.S. property, you're going to do what we say. And Captain America gives them his uniform and his shield and goes, nope, and leaves. Silence.
I didn't know that you were done.
I was done.
You need to do better at stopping your sentences so that I know when you're done.
Do better at stopping my sentences. And that leads to a span of time in the comics where he was the captain and he was operating as independent of the government. And at the same time, they gave the Captain America costume to another gentleman named Johnny Walker, who I just realized that Nightfall ripped off this story. He became incredibly violent and Captain America had to stop him.
Was Nightfall a Batman thing?
Yeah, Nightfall was the Batman one where Batman got his back broke and he was like, hey dude, Jean-Paul, you're going to be Batman now. And he was like, awesome. And then he got like super violent and started killing people. And Batman was like, my back's better. I'm going to beat your ass now.
That was Azrael, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know much about Azrael except that Matt really likes him and now it makes sense.
Azrael was actually a really good character and that story was kind of contrived.
Like, what's that? A Batman that loses his mind and starts fucking people up? I'm in.
Well, that story was actually a response to everybody writing DC, and, you know, this was, like, the early 90s when the Punisher was, like, huge.
Right.
And everybody was like, hey, why doesn't Batman just fucking kill people? Because he keeps locking them up, and they keep getting out. And DC was like, well, we're going to write a story about why Batman doesn't kill people. And so they had somebody kill people, and they were like, this is bad.
But, yeah, it's, like, Captain America by himself doesn't make a whole movie. You incorporate S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. You got a movie. So it was the the whole thing with the Winter Soldier, even though it's the title of the movie, was really the B plot.
Yeah. I guess you could say it was the Bucky plot. Boom! Because his name's Bucky.
And I was sort of let down. I don't know that let down's the right phrase. I felt off about the movie when he loses his mask or takes off his mask and shows his face for the first time, and it's like supposed to be a big shocking moment that it's fucking Bucky, except we've seen it in every trailer.
And that's why I was saying 2 months ago, man, I really wish they wouldn't put him unmasked on the covers. And everybody was, oh, I think everybody knows who the Winter Soldier is. No, everybody who read the comics knows who the Winter Soldier is. And those people, while they do come see the movie, do not make up the entirety of the audience for that movie. I did hear a few people gasp when they revealed it was Bucky. I guess they don't have the internet and live in rocks.
We had one guy react, and he was bursting out in laughter.
If they had not put that in every trailer or on every poster that he was on, I think that would have been a much bigger moment. I think that would have made the movie a much bigger deal for a lot of people, but going into it, because you know how movies are now. You can't have surprises. Everybody wants to know everything that happens in the trailer.
Right.
That would have been a much bigger moment if they had not revealed that in every fucking piece of marketing beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Even though it's like, people wouldn't have known that it's Bucky, just like moviegoers, comic fans would have known.
Right.
But it's like, it would have been fine to even like show his face in the trailer if they didn't plan on trying to make it a big reveal.
Yeah.
Like his back is turned and his mask got knocked off and he turns around and Cap sees his face for the first time. Bucky? It's like, everyone's going, yeah, you're the last person to fucking know, Cap.
How did you not figure this out, asshole?
When Black Widow comes up next to him and be like, oh yeah, that's your old partner, I forgot to tell you.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
We found out that Hydra brought him back and he's got a metal arm now, and sorry about that. I had dealings with him, but I didn't know until, like, that he was your friend until you came back. And
yeah, he shot me and I can never wear bikinis again.
Oh, God.
Right. I did like what they did with Black Widow in this movie. I like that they finally established you can't really fucking trust her.
Yeah.
As opposed to Avengers and Iron Man 2, where it was like, look, it's Black Widow. Oh my god, sunshine, rainbows, hugs.
Yeah. Like, look at the cute girl that also fights.
Aww. Aww. That's cute. In this movie, it was like, look at the Black Widow. What a backstabbing bitch.
Yeah.
I liked what they got some
depth to her, for Christ's sake. What a concept.
My god, they gave her a character? As we mentioned before everything went shit, I really liked the Falcon. I really liked what they did with him. I thought that was a great choice. I don't really want to see him in Avengers 2. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a cameo or something, but I don't want to see him as an Avenger. I just want to see him kind of sparingly, and I'd like to see him show up in the next Captain America, where I'm sure they're going to be chasing the Winter Soldier. Because I imagine we're not going to see the Winter Soldier in Avengers 2.
No, I don't think we'll see him in there, but it's like, looking at the roster for Avengers 2... Like, if you go on IMDb and look at all the people that are fucking in it, it's like...
That's already a huge stacked movie. And they're saying the bigger moments in that movie are going to go to Hawkeye and the Hulk, since they don't have movies preceding them.
Yeah.
And that's how it should be.
But I don't want them to do what X-Men inevitably did in putting too many characters in it.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's like... X-Men 1 came out, and everyone was like, where the fuck's Colossus? And then they had X-Men 2, and there was 30 billion characters in it, and Colossus showed up, and everyone was like, why didn't Colossus fucking talk? I was like, well, because we had to make room for everyone else. You bitch wasn't in the first fucking movie.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that Avengers got right, and that they got everyone in there, but everyone wasn't always an active player. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of times people were just kind of hanging it. Like the first big fight with Loki, when you had Cap and Iron Man show up. Hulk wasn't there. He didn't need to be there. Thor hadn't shown up yet. Hawkeye and Black Widow were just hanging out on the helicarrier.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think with those movies, they're afraid to just be like, where was so-and-so? They were on the helicarrier having fruit roll-ups and Capri Suns.
Well, it's also, I think that if anyone could handle writing such a story, it's Joss Whedon, who
right.
in every one of his projects has like a cast of 30 people that he has right. to juggle doing something at any given time. So I think he could pull it off, but at the same time, I don't want there to be so many characters that somebody kind of gets lost in the shuffle.
I would have to imagine going into this one, if Tony's Iron Man again, it won't be till the very end. I imagine before then he'll be in some sort of a mentor capacity. The big theory going forward is that S.H.I.E.L.D., by the time these movies roll around, is going to be an independent organization. With Tony and Fury in charge, which would mirror the comics.
It kind of seemed like they were trying to, like, by showing the founding members in that basement, that that's kind of foreshadowing that it's going to come down to another, like, six people in a basement in a hidden area, sort of rebuilding it.
Yeah. And now, as we learned in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, which I guess you could have called Agents of Super Double Twist.
Yeah.
It's a swerve, bitches.
Russo swerve, the show.
That's weird. I didn't know Vince Russo and Joss Whedon were the same person. What do you think should happen in the Avengers 3, Joss? I think Black Widow gives birth to a hand. The hand. Viper. See, I took a wrestling reference and made it a comics joke.
Coulson needs to start carrying around a plastic duck.
Coulson just, like, walks onto the helicarrier. What does everybody want? Simmons is like, and, like, rattles off some, like, fancy fucking science term. And no, hand. Fuck.
Fuck, Fitz. Simmons. God damn it.
God damn it. Fuck. I'm gonna beat you with this mannequin head. Like, within an inch of your life. This is why people won't hire us to write things. As we saw in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. this week, S.H.I.E.L.D. will still exist in some capacity, but it will be very bare bones. But I imagine by the time Avengers 2 rolls around, well, I guess when Avengers 2 rolls around, because all we're getting before Avengers 2 is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right, as far as this, I keep thinking Spider-Man is part of it, but I remember, like, oh no, that's another studio.
Because let's see, the Marvel Phase 2... let's see here. Cinematic Universe, blah, 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 blah. Trying to pull this up and double check my facts here. Phase 2, yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy, Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron is May 2015, and then in July 2015 we get Ant-Man, but that kicks off Phase 3. I think Ant-Man's going to be fun.
Nope.
You don't think so?
No.
No, why not?
I don't think Ant-Man is an interesting enough character to carry a movie. Yeah, I get we'll tiny! See. And sometimes I get big.
Gotta remember, there was a time when everybody said, oh, Iron Man, that's gonna be a shitty movie.
Yeah, but Iron Man's cooler than Ant-Man.
Is he?
Yes.
Yeah, he is. He really is. I forget my train of thought. Oh, yeah, I imagine by the time Age of Ultron rolls around, we'll have found out either on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or in the Stinger clips for Guardians of the Galaxy that S.H.I.E.L.D. is somehow reestablished. I would not be surprised to find out if the Avengers and Age of Ultron are independently run, though. They do that in the comics every few years where they're a S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, and then they go, nope, we're going to be our own thing.
Well, yeah, it's like they're all going to have some secret meeting place somewhere.
Oh, my God. I also just realized Age of Ultron is going to be the 11th movie in the cinematic universe.
Wow.
Yeah.
They've really been cranking them out.
Well, since 2008, we've had Iron Man and the Incredible Hulk were in 2008. Iron Man 2 is in 2010. Thor and the First Avenger were in 2011. Avengers in 2012. Iron Man 3 in 2013. Thor in 2013. And then in 2014, we're getting Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy. The plan last I heard was every 3 years an Avengers movie. And every year there would be a sequel and a new franchise going forward, which is why this year we're getting Captain America and Guardians of the Galaxy. And then next year we're getting Avengers and Ant-Man. Maybe it was, yeah. They're basically looking at every year one of their movies being a new franchise to play with. Now this does not mean every year we're going to get a Captain America sequel. This means every year we're going to get a sequel to one of the movies and a entry in a new franchise. And you may never, you know, we may never see an Ant-Man 2. But like 2016, the talk is Captain America 3, and they want to do a Doctor Strange movie.
Right.
And 2016 is a fast turnaround on a third Captain America, given there were 3 years between First Avenger and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, but if they sort of put effort into it, they can do it.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind they can. They've got the same team working on both of them, so, I mean, really, they're just going to pick up where they left off with Winter Soldier.
Right. So they're probably making it right now. They know what's going to happen in Avengers, so...
It's in development, so yeah, they're working on it right now.
Avengers is just like, we need to borrow Chris Evans for a little bit. We'll give him back.
We're gonna just, we'll bring him back to you unharmed. I am happy too from seeing the shots of Age of Ultron. They learned their lesson from the first movie and did not try to put Captain America in a full body suit again.
Did they?
He's just got the helmet again.
Oh, so
not like the full fucking neck piece that made him look like a condom.
Right. God, I was so happy when he got his like tactical gear at the end of the movie. Because at yeah. the very beginning, when he dropped in and his helmet had his ears sticking out like Will Smith. Like, no, that is a bad look for Captain America.
I didn't mind the look in the Oh, you mean the fucking circus costume in First Avenger?
No, I mean when he dropped in on the boat.
In Winter Soldier?
In Winter Soldier.
I didn't mind that look, but it was clearly not designed for him to wear the helmet.
It was just this, like, bulky-ass helmet with the open ears and made them stick out, and he just looked so dumb.
Yeah. They had clearly made that in mind with him not wearing the helmet for most of the movie where he had that on. That's my kind of big complaint. They do the same thing in the Spider-Man movies, and to an extent they did it with Iron Man, where at the first possible opportunity they get rid of the mask or the helmet. Because you gotta see their face.
Yeah, they can't emote with a mask.
Audience can't connect with them if you can't see their face. And that was a big complaint about the first Spider-Man trilogy, too, that every fucking time there was a chance to do it, Tobey Maguire's cry face, mask off, Mary Jane!
That probably wouldn't have been as big of a deal if Sam Raimi himself hadn't said that he fucking hated the mask. Like, yeah, I fucking know. Hate the mask, so I'm going to get it off of him at any point possible. It's like, oh, Jesus Christ.
I know at one point he said he was going to try to do it with clear lenses, and he was like, nope, kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm. God, fuck you, Sam Raimi. Useless bastard. I made Evil Dead, fuck you.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., though, as we mentioned, Vince Russo must have been writing this one.
Yeah, I was waiting for, what's-her-name, Hand.
Yeah, I thought for sure going into that she was the bad guy.
And then, like, even when you got Simmons right there with her and she's saying that Coulson's part of Hydra, and she's like, how can Coulson be part of Hydra? And it's like, they hide in plain sight, they befriend you, they sympathize with you, and then they turn on you. It's like, she's yeah. fucking telling you what she's gonna do to you!
I know! I'm really impressed with how well this was put together in timing it with the Winter Soldier, which does explain why it kept going on 2-month hiatuses.
Yeah, when they're trying to make everything line up with movies, it makes yeah. sense. It's still kind of annoying, but meh.
Yeah, but the way it was timed out in that you can see very clearly where the events of the Winter Soldier start in last week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because when Sitwell's called away, he's going to that boat in the beginning, and then when this one ends, you can see clearly where it lines up with the end of Winter Soldier. I thought that was a really nice touch to realize they're both are taking care of the same events, just in two very different places.
Mm-hmm.
So really great job with that. Almost makes me forgive the freaking ridiculous hiatuses they kept going on.
Right.
Hopefully we won't have that many problems going forward, but the fucking...
And this is kind of something that we've never had before, where we have kind of cross-platform storytelling.
Right. The scale of these projects in themselves is impressive. So
yeah,
the Avengers is the culmination of 5 years of films on behalf of Marvel, starting with a movie that nobody thought was going to be anything, because to hear them talk about it now, they're like, yeah, we started making Iron Man and we just kind of thought maybe we'd make a little money with it, but you know, if it failed, it would be no big deal, we just wouldn't have a movie company anymore. And to see where they've gone now. But then to do that again and then tie the TV show in with it, it's a really impressive undertaking. And I'm impressed they've made it work as well as they have.
Yeah.
Especially given it's unprecedented.
And I don't know that any other company but Disney could have pulled off something like this.
Right.
It's having, of course, their own TV station and movie studio owning all these characters. It's like... It's a huge deal that they've been able to pull it off as well as they have, and I don't think that anyone else could. No one has the resources to do it. I don't think anyone else could hire the talent to do it.
Right.
They've just done so well with everything.
So, to do all this, and then to take the television series, and then at the very end of one episode, right towards the end of the first season, to just flip everything on its head... The guy you've been following since the first episode and rooting for looks like he's one of the bad guys. You bring Bill Paxton in. Bill Paxton's one of the bad guys. Boy, that was fucking genius casting right there. You should have seen that right away. Oh, Bill Paxton's going to be an asshole. Nope.
I'm glad that they didn't kill him, though. I really liked his character.
When they were and they were on that, I was just like, yep, here we go. Ward's going to fucking kill him, and he's going to hide it, and it's going to be typical Whedon bullshit where he's all fucking, oh, I'm so sad, for five fucking episodes, and he's going to pour his heart out the sky, and they're going to bang, and everything's going to be, oh, never mind, okay.
We forgive you because you have sex good.
to instead have him be revealed to be one of the bad guys, to be a Hydra agent, Jesus Christ. So...
yeah, so now is he the clairvoyant?
No, I think the Hydra thing is something completely different. I still maintain the clairvoyant is going to be Coulson's ex-girlfriend.
Because they were saying that then, Garrett was the clairvoyant. But
I think it's just a Hydra agent.
Yeah, who knows?
Because you remember they saw the secret code and they realized it was Hydra and not the clairvoyant.
As it spelled it all out.
Yeah.
I like that sure was like H-Y-D-R and then A is still flipping around. It's like, we know, we got it, we know.
You figured it out.
And then
come
it
on.
Stops A, and they're, it's like, you didn't see that one coming? You think it was Hydro Man?
That would have been a great twist. who the hell is that? Andrew Garfield just swings on the helicarrier. I'll tell you. Really impressive framework there. Winter Soldier's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, why are you still listening to this?
You should have seen it before you listened to this, just saying.
Oh, man. We didn't even tell them about the bombastic sex scene between Scarlett Johansson and Victoria Hand. Not Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson. Like, they hit a movie premiere, and it was bombastic. I described it as bombastic, didn't I?
God. Was Bob Holly there? Fuck.
Nope. No, but Chris Benoit was.
Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart?
Why not? Bring Bob Holly back. Put Bart Gunn in the thing.
The thing, yes.
Go for it.
What?
I guess it was Billy Gunn, wasn't it?
No, it was Bart Gunn.
Was it Bart Gunn?
Yeah. It was after the Smoking Guns broke up and they did the new Midnight Express and it was Bombastic Bob and Bodacious Bart.
Right. Fuck it, I don't care.
You just watched, like, every Jim Cornette shoot interview. You don't know this?
I'm still hung up on the Dairy Queen story.
Have you watched that video yet?
I have.
God.
We wouldn't have fucking ordered it if we didn't want it. Oh, that's so great. Mike, any final thoughts for this week?
What I love best about that story is Chris Candido and Tammy Sitch sitting inside that Dairy Queen listening to Jim Cornette just lose his mind at the drive-in.
That is a great
God.
Go see The Winter Soldier. Go watch WrestleMania 30.
Go watch,
rest in peace.
Go watch anything kayfabe commentaries with Jim Cornette in it.
Yes, if it's Jim Cornette being interviewed about wrestling, just watch it. Especially if he's talking about slapping Santino Marella. Rest in peace, Warrior. Thanks a lot, everybody.
Bye.